Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to pay real close attention to me tonight. I've covered what I've covered in the past, but it's been a while since I've done it. So you want to really listen to this message tonight. Really listen to what this message has to say. Now remember, we're doing a series out of the Hebrews 11 chapter. And last week we looked at faith defined. We looked at verses 1 through verse 3 last Wednesday night. And I'm not going to go back and repeat that. But it gives a definition for faith in verses 1 through verse 3. That's what we looked at. That's online if you'd like to get it. If you don't got a computer, you can get the CD and listen to it there. Now what we're going to do now is we're going to start going down through the text. And what, now, we don't know for sure who wrote Hebrews. Most people think the Apostle Paul wrote it. Now, because it mentions on over in the text where he was in bonds. And you notice some of the prison epistles, Paul would indeed say that. So most think the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Who's he writing it to? Hebrews. These were Jewish Christians. And some of them were going back under the Old Covenant. So he's writing this book for the purpose of this whole book is to show the superiority of the New Covenant over the Old Covenant. We got a better high priest. We got a better sacrifice, etc., etc. And he shows how the Old Testament sacrifice system was a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do. So that's what the book of Hebrews is, an awesome book to do a study through. So what he does is he goes back and he's picking certain, and what books he uses? He uses the Old Testament. He goes back to the Old Testament and grabs those old elders, heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, and teaches them that they were saved by faith, and they lived by faith. Of course, how are you saved today? You're saved by faith, and that's what they really needed to see. So if you want to show how they save by faith and live by faith. He's going to use different examples. And the example he uses tonight is the example of Abel. He goes all the way back to the book of Genesis and Genesis chapter 4 and uses the illustration of Abel. I want you to also turn to Genesis 4 because eventually we're going to be there. All right, Hebrews 11 and verse 4, let's go ahead and read our verse. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. If you underline in your Bible, I want you to underline that it said that Abel offered what? You see the plural? Abel offered gifts. It's a plural. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for everyone that's here tonight. Thankful for the rain that you've given us. Lord, it causes the crops to grow so that we may eat. And Lord, you're the one that feeds us. And we give you the glory for all that too. Lord, as we begin to open this book up, we pray that you would touch hearts tonight, that we'd worship you. Our minds not be on what we're going to do after a while or later, but our minds be on you and the awesome sacrifice that you made to save us from our sin, pictured in the sacrifice of Abel. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now the title of this message, and I want you to listen to the title, Abel's Offerings, plural. Abel's Offerings. I think Abel, when he made an offering, we realize he offered a firstling of his flock, he offered a lamb, but I think he also offered something else with that. And I'm going to seek to prove that to you tonight. Abel's offerings, plural. Okay? Now, there's 4 points we're going to look at, 4 details about Abel's offerings. And here's the first point. Abel's offering was by faith. Abel's offering was by faith. That will be the first point we look at. Point number 2, Abel's offering was more excellent. That's point number 2. I'll repeat these. Number 3, Abel's offering was an indicator that he was righteous. Abel's offering was an indicator that he was righteous. And then number 4, Abel's offering still speaks. Matter of fact, it's a wonderful text It says, he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's offering still speaks. This message tonight can be a great blessing to you if you see what it has to say in it. Okay? Now, are you ready to get into it? All right. Let's go ahead and look at the first point. Abel's offering was by faith. Now, notice it says in verse 4, by faith. Now, you're going to see that all the way down through this chapter. When it talks about all these great elders of the, in the Old Testament. Now, there's Sarah's mentioned in it too. Women's mentioned in it also. These great heroes of the faith out of the Old Testament, it mentions by faith, Moses, by faith Abraham, all the way down through the text. He's stressing the fact that they were saved that way and they walked that way. They were saved that way and they walked that way. Okay. Now, if Abraham's offering, I'm sorry, if Abel's offering was by faith, what does that tell you? How does someone have faith? Look at Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing. So the Lord, you just think they just come and started offering sacrifices without any direction? Absolutely not. If Abel had faith in the sacrifice that he gave, or in his God, in the sacrifice that he gave for him to offer, then that means he would have had to have heard some direction on how to approach him. Do you not agree? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and by faith Abel offered that sacrifice, that means he received some information from the Lord about how to come. The Lord just didn't leave that open to them to come however how they picked to come. They got some direction on how to come. That's why it said Abel offered his offering how? By faith. So there would have had to be some direction that the Lord would have gave upon how to approach in worship. Do you not agree? Because he offered it by faith. Faith comes by what again? Hearing. He would have had to hear. God told him how to approach. See, the problem with Cain, he never came the way God said to come. He never came with the direction that God gave him to come in. He tried to come another way. Okay? Now, why did Abel offer his offering? He did it by faith. That means he trusted what God told him. God told him how to come. What did he do? He believed God. He trusted in what God said, and he made his sacrifice according to how God said to come. And he did it by what again? He did it by faith. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and look at the next part of it. By faith, Abel offered unto God. Now, what I all want you to see with regard to that, if he did it by faith, that means he trusted what God said. And that means God gave him information on how to make their approach. How to do it. Because faith comes by what again? It comes by hearing. Now, it says his sacrifice was more excellent. More excellent. Now, if you'd look that up, you probably got, some of you got on online E-Sword, and you can look that up. And there's a one of the dictionary, Bible dictionaries on there, Greek dictionary, is by Thayer. And the meaning of more excellent is greater in quantity. Look it up. The meaning of more excellent, when it says Abel's offering was more excellent, that means it was greater in quantity. In other words, Abel offered more than Cain did. Cain left something out. Whereas Abel offered, what he offered was greater in quantity. Brother Clark, he's a famous commentator. Here's what he says the meaning of more excellent is. It means more sacrifice. As if to say Abel by faith made more than one offering. Let me say it one more time. It's Brother Clark. You can look it up. If you got E-Sword, his name's right there. Look it up. He's a commentator. He says, more excellent means more sacrifice, as if to say that Abel by faith made more than one offering. You got it? More excellent means greater in quantity. So that means that Abel offered more than
1.
Now, what else agrees with what I just said? Hebrews 11:4. Because when it described Abel's offering, did it describe it as a gift or gifts? You notice the plural? Plural is more than one. Plural is more than one. So that means that Abel offered more than one offering. Okay? Now, let's go back to the book of Exodus chapter 29 on our way to Genesis chapter 4. I want to establish something. I don't know how long this will take. I don't care how long it takes. I don't think it will take real long. But I'm going to promise you when I get done with it, it's 20 minutes, I'm going to stop. Because I want you to get this message tonight so bad you can taste it. This is one of the earliest, this is one of the earliest, if not the earliest picture of the gospel in the scriptures. And many times it's missed because we don't realize that Abel offered more than one sacrifice. Or with his sacrifice, he offered something with it, which is why Hebrews 11 uses the term, what? Gifts. Gifts. Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. Now, I want to establish something with you, and you've heard me say this a lot from the pulpit. In Israel, they offered a lamb every morning and every evening. Now, how many knew that? I want you to raise your hand. They offered a lamb every morning and every evening. And we already knew that, didn't we? In the morning, they offered a lamb. And then in the evening, they offered a lamb. Did they offer that lamb by itself? No. There was something that they offered with that lamb. And I want you to see that because what I think you're going to see when we get on back to the text we're going to be going to is the daily offering that they gave, that lamb every morning and every evening, was essentially the same offering that Abel offered up. It's essentially the same exact kind of offering. Are you ready? All right, now notice this. Verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Now when we use the term altar today, you think about a wooden bench in front of the church. There's not one thing in the Bible about one of those. Not one. There's nothing with regard to that anywhere in this book. An altar in the Bible was a place of sacrifice. That's where they offered lambs. There was a brazen altar. And they offered the sacrifices upon it. In front of the Holy of Holies was also an altar of incense. They burnt incense on that altar, which is a picture of prayer. Okay, so that's the only references in the New Testament to an altar. And the altar, what was the altar, especially the altar that they offered the sacrifices on, what was that picture of? It was a picture of the cross. Jesus was offered on the cross. So that's the only, I'm not going to get off on that. So I just want you to know that's what an altar is in the scripture. And I don't get all upset over an altar in front of the church, but it's only been around about 200 years. There's nothing in this book about that. When someone says they're saved, I like for them to tell me they trusted Jesus instead of just tell me they went to the altar. If you went to the altar and trusted Jesus, I'm fine with that. But I need to hear more than if you went up front. Sometimes people say, well, I went up front. Well, going up front's great if you trusted Jesus. See, the key to salvation is trusting Jesus. I'm not trying to be hard. I just want people to tell me they trusted Jesus instead of just that one thing. I always say, well, did you trust Jesus while you went there? I say, oh, yeah, I trust Him as my Savior, but there's a lot of people who think they're saved just because they walked down a church aisle or done one of these things. Now, I'm trying to be harsh. Really, I'm not. You just got to know the reason you're saved is because of Christ, that you trusted Him as your Savior, and He rose again the third day. Are you with me now? Let's go ahead and go to Exodus 29. Verse 38 said, now this is which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Now, Matt, they did that every day. They did it in the morning, and they did it in the evening. Two what? Two lambs. A lamb of the morning, a lamb of the evening. They did this continually. Now, that's pretty cool, Billy, when you think Jesus was put on the cross in the morning, and then he died in the afternoon, didn't he? So, what's the lamb they offered in the Old Testament a picture of? Pictured the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. So the Jews knew that. They offered him. They offered a lamb in the morning, every evening. They done it continually, every day. It was done continually. That picture went up to the Lord every day throughout the Old Testament. You say, why don't we do that today? Jesus fulfilled the picture when he died on Calvary. He fulfilled the picture when we died. We don't offer sacrifices no more. That all pointed to Christ. I think that's what Daniel 9 means when it says he calls the sacrifices and oblations to cease when he died on Calvary. I didn't bring a knife to church with me tonight to kill a lamb. Didn't do it. The lamb's done that. That's the reason why when Jesus took the Passover, what did he institute out of the Passover? The Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper isn't a sacrifice, but it pictures what Jesus did. Okay? All right. Stay with me. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer in the evening. Now, they were to offer something with that. Now, notice what it is in verses 40 and 41. Here's what I want you to see. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour, with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at the evening, shalt do thereunto according to the meat offering. Now, if you underline in your Bible, underline meat offering. So with this lamb, they offered a... Now, when we think of meat, what are we thinking about? Steak. We're thinking, meat. That's not the meaning of the word meat here. It's a meal offering. It's a grain. It's a grain offering. That's what they did. So when they offered that lamb, they didn't offer that lamb by itself. With that lamb was offered a meal offering. Barley, wheat. You say, what's the big deal with that? Oh, can't wait to tell you. Can't wait to tell you. That sacrifice lamb pictured Jesus as what? Pictured his death, didn't it? What did the meal offering picture? Pictured his resurrection. See it, Larry? You see, barley and wheat, that was a seed. And it was put in the ground. And then that wheat did what? It comes up. So when you looked at that daily offering in Israel, it was a picture of the death in the lamb and in the meal offering, it pictured Jesus' resurrection. Somebody in the house tell me what that's called. It's called the gospel. So they did. They put that picture on every day. They did it every day in Israel. When you come to the Lord's Supper, we just don't have the fruit of the vine there. What else we got there? We got the unleavened bread. The bread, where'd that begin at? That was a seed that's been planted and come up. What you got a picture of there? The gospel. Abel's offering, I think, was the same way. Let's go back to down to Genesis 4. Back to Genesis 4. I'm going to go back over this outline again when I'm done. All right, Genesis chapter 4. Now, this is when Cain and Abel offered their offerings. Now, has everybody seen in Exodus 29 the daily offering in Israel? They just never offered a lamb. It wasn't just a lamb. It was offered with a grain offering, which was a picture of the death and then of the resurrection in the grain offering. Okay? Now, Genesis 4. It says in verse 3, in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Now, the fruit of the ground there is a mincha. is a mincha or a meal offering. So when Cain made his offering, it was just a grain offering. What did he miss? We already know what he missed. He didn't bring the lamb. It was an incomplete picture of the what? Of the gospel. I want you to know something. When the Lord lays down a picture, He wants it done like He says to do it. Is everybody with me? I mean, that's why I get upset when people, you don't have to dip them. That's how He wants it done. I mean, you don't have no right to change how God said to do it. I'm sure it upsets Him. Don't you? Because when you do a baptism, it pictures the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, which is a picture of what again? The gospel. That ain't even a picture of the gospel whenever you sprinkle somebody. That ain't even a baptism. It's not. I'm offended by it. Let's not talk about it anymore so that I can just keep on running. I don't know. Just leave it lay. There's nothing in that. I'll leave it lay. All right. So Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now you notice he didn't bring a what? No lamb. No sacrifice. He just brought the mincha. He just brought the meal offering. You think God told him how to come? Yeah, but he didn't believe God. See, by faith, offered the offering correctly. He trusted what God said. He came the way God said. Abel didn't. So Cain brought just the meal offering, the mincha. Now, remember the verses. Aren't you glad the Lord I think the Lord was behind it. Put chapter and verse in your Bible so you can find things. But in the original, it's not there. So I want to read right through now. Watch this. Process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord and Abel. Then has a comma, doesn't it? So Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and Abel. Abel did too. Abel also brought a mincha. He brought a mincha. Everybody see it? Cain brought a mincha. Abel brought a mincha. And a mincha is a meal offering. But Abel added something to his offering. So Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. That's a meal offering. Fruit of the ground was the, you see, you notice it says fruit of the ground? That's a mincha. And Abel did the same thing. But along, you see where it says he also? Everybody in the house look down to your Bible. You see where it says he also? Along with the grain offering, he also brought the firstlings of the flock. So, he brought a mincha, like Cain brought a mincha. He brought a grain offering, the same as Cain brought a grain offering, but he also brought of the firstlings of the flock. So he brought not only a grain offering, with the grain offering, he brought a lamb. The grain offering with the lamb is a picture of the what? The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he brought two offerings. That's the reason why when you go back in the Hebrews 11, it uses the term in describing Abel's offering as gifts, plural. He offered a lamb and he offered a mincha. Cain just offered a mincha, but no lamb, which is an incomplete picture of the gospel. The Lord wants the gospel pictured right. He wants the gospel pictured right. All right. Let's notice what it says now in verse 4. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He had respect to Abel and his offering. Why did he have respect to Abel's offering? He did it the way it's supposed to have done. When he looked at Abel's offering, he'd seen a picture of the death and resurrection of his son. He'd seen a picture of the power of God unto salvation, which is the gospel. No shedding of blood, no remission of sin. But Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 11, verse 6, there is no remission. Cain's offering was bloodless. He didn't come the way they were told. He didn't offer by faith. He didn't believe what God said. But Abel did. He came correctly. Now let's go back to our text in Hebrews 11. So what was the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's? Abel offered gifts. He offered two. He not only offered the lamb, but he also offered the grain offering that went with it. And it was a picture of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you what, isn't that a pretty picture? Now, do you see why his wrath was kindled at Cain? He never came the way the Lord said to come. People still doing it today. Just different time. People still doing it today. If you're going to be saved, you got to come the way the Lord says to come. You can add all this stuff or take away. Anytime you take away from the gospel, you take away from its saving efficiency. Power of God to salvation is two parts, or if you want to say three parts, death, burial, and resurrection. That was pictured in the offerings of Abel. That was pictured every day in Israel, morning and evening. Same kind of offering, morning and evening. Same kind of offering. Mincha plus the lamb. Cain left out the lamb. That's a big problem, wasn't it? Back in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Abel offered to God more excellent. And remember, more excellent meant what again? More in number. Greater in quantity is what Thayer said it means. More sacrifice, what Brother Clark says it means. And if you still don't believe it, you got the term gifts in the end of verse, which means he offered more than one. And I told you what the more than one was. He offered basically the same offering as the daily offering. Okay? Now let's go ahead and look at the rest of the text. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, in which he obtained witness that he was what? He was righteous. He obtained the witness that he was what? Righteous. How was Abel saved? Faith in the death and the resurrection of Christ. How do you become righteous in the eyes of God today? How do you get a position of standing? Here I'm a sinner. How do I get a position of standing before God righteous? Mention it all again. When you receive Christ as your Savior, your sin's charged to Him, His righteousness is charged to you. How's that happen? By the death and resurrection of Christ. When you trust that gospel message, you are declared righteous. That's how Abel was saved. That's how Moses was saved. That's how Noah was saved. That's how Abraham was saved. That's how Daniel was saved. People in the Old Testament wasn't saved in a different way than you. I've heard people say before that, well, they're saved by the law in the Old Testament. We're saved by grace in the New. No, they could no more be saved by the law than you can. The demands of God's law is 100% obedience. And guess what? Every one of us has broke God's law. And guess what else? Every one of them in the Old Testament, they broke God's law too. That's why God gave the sacrifice system to picture what His Son was going to do. The difference between us and them is they look forward to the coming sacrifice of Christ and we look backwards. But it's the same atonement that saved us both. All God's people said. We're saved the same way as Abel was. We're saved the same way as Abraham was, Noah was, by faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So he obtained, look back at our text, he obtained the witness that he was what? Righteous. Not only did he have a righteous standing with God, but he also would have had a righteous life that goes along with that. A righteous walk, righteous standing, and a righteous walk. Of course, those that's been born again, truly born again, they seek to live righteous. Okay? All right, now let's get the last of this. Let's get the last of this, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? He was righteous. How did he get righteous? He had faith in what God told him to do, faith in the death and the resurrection of Christ. God testifying of his gifts, plural. Why is it plural? He offered with the lamb a grain offering. Picture of death and resurrection of Christ. Are you ready? He being dead, yet speaketh. Oh, Abel. I mean, that's 6,000 years ago. Abel ain't been here for 6,000 years. He's been at the Lord for 6,000 years. He being dead, yet what? Still speaking. What's Abel telling us? When it says he's dead, but he yet speaketh, what is he telling us? What's he speaking? That you're saved by faith in the death of the Messiah and the resurrection of the Messiah. That's what you see in his offering. He's still speaking it. We've got the whole New Testament that gives the definition and everything. But you can go all the way back to Genesis 4, back in the beginning. And you can see exactly God's plan by which he would save a sinner. And it's illustrated in the sacrifice of Abel. Cain. Book of Jude says they've gone in the way of Cain. Cain never offered correctly. I think he got the same information as Abel did. But it never come the way God said to come. People still doing that, ain't they? Did Cain believe in God? Was Cain religious? Offered sacrifice, didn't he? Cain was lost because he never came the way God said. Now you understand why I'm so strict on the gospel. You don't mess with it. You don't add to it. You don't add to it. You don't add to it. Or do you take away from it? The gospel is that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day. And that's pictured by the daily offerings in Israel. The sacrifice system pictured it. And Abel's offering pictured it. He's dead, but what's he doing? He still speaketh. If you're going to be accepted by God, if you're going to gain acceptance with God, the only way you can do that is through the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. All God's people say, amen. Let's all stand. Thank you.